Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to ask you this question again. Do you have labor that abounds? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know not that your labor is not in vain." So I ask you this question one more time. Does your labor abound? Have you ever heard of the term no pain, no gain? All through high school, as I used to lift weights and I used to play football and play different sports, and when I was in the United States Marine Corps, I always used to hear the term, Pastor Greg, of no pain, no gain. When I was big in the weightlifting, I knew that there was times when my muscles started to burn. And it was at that process of where it was it could go either way. If I continued to lift, that was in the most crucial point of weightlifting. As they would start to burn, they would start to grow. But see, the problem is that most times weightlifters and men that are working, and just like the Church of the Jesus Christ, when we start working in the burning process, what do? We quit because the labor is too intense. You see, Paul here is challenging the Church of Corinth about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, today I believe, as I said, that the church is at the burning and the weak stage of growth. You may ask, Brother Philip, why is that? I believe this with all of my heart because there is very little labor going on in the house of God. You see, it's not just this missionary's responsibility to go and preach the gospel. It's not just your pastor's responsibility to go and preach the gospel. It's not just your deacons or those that here in this church, Pastor Greg. It is the responsibility of every individual to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. Amen. You see, the Bible tells us here in our text that we must labor that has abounding results. The word abound here means to overflow or to exceed. The word labor means to labor alongside of, with troubles and with problems. So Paul gives us here the idea of working alongside of others with overflowing and exceeding results. Let me ask you something this evening. Do you like to labor for the work of God where you will see the laboring results? I used to be a builder and a landscaper. You see, and I used to go into the job site, Pastor Greg, and all I would have is a set of blueprints. And it took, before I could ever accomplish anything, I had to study the blueprints that the person had given to me to have a finished product. My friend, what we must understand is that we must have a blueprint, and that blueprint is the Word of God. I believe in the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God that He has given to you and I tonight to give the blueprint so you and I can have labor that abounds. You see, however, as the church of the living God, we must desire to be fruitful and reproduce ourselves to bring forth more fruit. You see, but the problem is, I believe, in the church today is that there's too much sin in the camp. I like what your pastor preached here this morning. I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God. I believe in church discipline, amen. I believe if there's sin in the camp, we need to get the sin out so therefore the camp may grow, amen. And what we must understand is that in believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have labor that abounds to the glory of God. Let me ask you this question. In your labor for the work of God, are you enduring Christianity or are you enjoying Christianity? I don't know about you, Brother Greg, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing, amen. I enjoy being able to tell others about Jesus Christ. I enjoy being able to see a hell-deserving sinner come down on the old-fashioned altar and repent of their sin and trust Christ and go out the door a new man. I still believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, amen. Old things passed away, Pastor Graham, behold, all things become new. My friend, when God saved this old wretched soul, I became a new man in Jesus Christ. But see, what it took was a man that was faithful enough to preach and teach the Word of God and come by my way and take a Bible and show me and labor and get off his lazy chair and come out from the house and come to my house and tell me about Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, what we must understand is that we must enjoy Christianity if we want to have labor that abounds. I don't know about you, my friend, but we're living in the last days, and I see too many lethargic, lazy, apathetic Christians that have no joy in their life. Why? Because they're not doing anything for the children, for the house of God. Amen? You see, Paul gives us several things here concerning our labor and the work of God. First thing I want you to understand, want you to see in verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." I want you to notice and circle that word brethren. That means plural. That's not just one, but that means plural. That means dual. You see, I love to work and stay busy. And I'm always doing something around the house, doing something. Even as a missionary, I go into churches. I like to work at the church house, mow the grass, or do. I love to be busy. But one of the hardest things for me to do, Pastor Greer, is work alongside of others. I sometimes have my own mindset. I sometimes have the way that I like to do certain things. There's sometimes I'll tell my son, you just go inside and let me do it, because I have my own way of doing that thing. But in the framework and the work of God, we must understand we must labor together with Jesus Christ. Christ and among others, amen. If we're ever going to do anything for the house of God, if we're going to ever do anything for the cause of Christ, we must understand that we are co-laborers together in Jesus Christ. You see, Paul could not do what he did without Barnabas, amen. You see, what did the Bible says? It said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. You see, it may take your pastor to go and plant a gospel seed at the Wendy's or at the McDonald's here in Boone, North Carolina, but it may be another Apollos in this church that comes back and waters the seed, amen, and so someone will get saved by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says we must labor with the brethren. You see, we are aware that the Corinth church had many, many problems. And one of the first things that the Apostle Paul dealt with in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 was division. And I believe in the church of God, we have too much division going on. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, duel, amen, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no what? Division among you, but that ye may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. My friend, we have too much division in the fundamental Baptist churches, amen. If you cut my skin, you cut my vein, I'm going to bleed independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preacher, and I am a Baptist by conviction. But what draws me sick to my stomach is the division that we cause here in our independent Baptist churches. I'm a missionary and I go to certain churches, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's a tragedy that I have to think about what color shirt I'm going to put on before I walk in that church door. Sometimes I have to wonder what kind of facial hair I may have when I walk into. See, I believe those are non-essentials for the cause of Christ, my friend. And you must understand today that he says, therefore, my beloved brethren. You see, sometimes, and I am a biblical separationist to a T. I do not believe in ecclesiastical separation. You say, what is brother? That is just mean another thing that we're not going to yoke up with other denominations. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, it's sad when independent fundamental Baptist churches can't get together and do something for the cause of Christ. And Paul was telling the church of Corinth, he says, let there be no divisions among you. The Bible tells us that even though there were several issues in the church, they were still a part of the family of God. And see, if we're ever going to do anything, Pastor Greg, for the cause of Christ, if we're going to reach 7.1 billion people on planet Earth, we must understand we must come together. Amen? Just Mount Lebanon Baptist Church isn't going to reach the whole four corners of the world. Midway Baptist Church isn't going to meet and do all the work they can for the four, they're going to do their part. But see, what many of us understand, that in the church of God, we must all come together. As your pastor preached this morning, if there was one tither in this church, these lights would be closed off and there would be a foreclosure sign on this building or a for sale sign. Why? It comes together to do the work of God. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul addresses the carnality of those that had divisions in the church. Can I stop to say here that we don't have time for divisions in our churches, amen? I've been in churches, Pastor Greer, where they tell me that there's men that sit on one side of the church and men sit on the other side of the church that hasn't talked for 25 to 30 years. 25 to 30 years because something that happened in the choir. I believe that's the same kind of junk, can I say that here? The same kind of garbage that the Apostle Paul was telling us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, my friend. Why? He says, let there be no division among you. You see, there are some things that are non-negotiable to me. I believe the Bible is non-negotiable. I stand on the King James Bible. I stand on the virgin birth. I stand on the deity of Jesus Christ. I stand on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there are some things that I do not let hinder me. And it's just because it is a preference doesn't mean it's a biblical conviction. Amen. You see, there's some things I'm just not going to let bother me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, the Bible says, I had planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. And every man shall receive his own reward according to what? His own labor. For we are co-laborers to God with God. Ye are God's husbandry and ye are God's building. My friend, we must understand that we must labor with the brethren according to the word of God. The Holy Spirit is telling us that we are co-laborers in the sight of Almighty God. But I don't want to just stop there. I want you to notice we not only labor with the brethren, but I want you to notice in verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, as your pastor said a little bit earlier in the morning service, the word steadfast and unmovable is a military term. You see, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a believer here this evening, you must understand that we're going to have battles. Amen? We're going to have battles that we must labor through. There's been times in my Christian walk for these last 15 years that there's been battle upon battle upon battles that I have had to labor through to get the work of God done. When I came off of my survey trip last August, I came home from a master's module, and I walked in, and my little girl was the color of that young man's shirt back there. Her bilirubin was 68 point whatever it was, and I walked in. I said, "What in the world is going on?" I took her to the doctor, and the doctors told us that she had liver disease. My little girl is sitting right back there. You want to know what, my friend? Brother Greg, that was a battle that I had to go through. But you know what I could have easily done? I could have stopped. I could have packed up the bags and said, God, I quit. But guess what? The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, sometimes working in the work of the Lord. No, he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want you to understand that you're going to have battles. Pastor Greg, you know about battles, don't you? Amen. Me and him was able to fellowship there back in February, and he shared some things about his daughter, his battles that we go through on this side of eternity, my friend. As soldiers in God's army, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we must understand that we are in a battle with the enemy, my friend. We're not in battle with one another, friend. We have a devil that wants to take your children. We have a devil that wants to take your grandchildren. We have a devil that wants to take your spouse away from you. And we are in a spiritual battle, my friend. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, not of this world, but of the outer darkness, my friend. And we must understand that we are in a battle that is like we've never faced before, my friend. And I believe in these last days, the devil and his little cohorts and his demons has an oppression upon the church of God. I have never in my whole entire life seen so many families getting ripped apart. I ain't never in all my life seen families that used to sing on the church, that used to sing on the platform there like your little girl, and the whole family would get up. I know about one particular family right now, Pastor Greer. If you would have had a billboard for a Christian family, Pastor Gray, they would have been on it. Now she's off with another man. He's done got divorced and got remarried. The kids are in shambles. Why? Because they never understood that he must labor through the battles, amen? And if you're going to do anything for the cause of Christ, you must understand, you must labor within the battle. You see, when I rededicated my life in 1997, I was on a glory train going wide open for Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden I hit an embankment. Why? Because I started laboring for the work of Christ. I started rolling up my sleeves and going out on Tuesday night visitation. I started working in the bus ministry. I started working in children's church. And you see, it seemed like as everything was going great, and then when I started getting in the work of God and started letting God work in my life, that's when the battle started to face, amen. I like what a preacher once said. He said, it's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit. You see, Paul used the imperative word steadfast, unmovable. They are commands to you and I as believers in Christ that through the battles and the storms of life, we must continue without wavering in our faith. Think about this here. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, guess what? There's going to be times of distress, but we are not perplexed. There's going to be times that we're in despair and persecuted, but we're not forsaken. There's going to be times that we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. And my friend, you may be going through a battle here tonight like you never faced before. You may be going through something on a job. You may be having some financial issues. You may be having some family issues, my friend. But what you must understand, that you can get help from the Word of God. You need to let God direct your lives. Is it going to be easy? No, it's going to take laboring, my friend. It's going to take you getting on your hands and your knees and crying out to a holy God, my friend. It's going to take time to open up the Word of God and let Him speak to you and through the Word of God and say, this is what I want you to do. My friend, you're in a battle. If you're in a battle and you know it, say amen. See, my friend, you must understand, until you realize that the devil hates your guts, he wants to destroy you and your family, and you're in a battle, you'll never have victory in your life. Why? Because then you'll have to come to the source of victory. You see, we can sing victory in Jesus all day long. Now, we've won the victory, amen. But guess what? He wants us to have a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, amen. He wants our joy to be full according to the Word of God. And see, we must understand, if we're going to have battles, then we must understand that we must labor through the battles. As believers, the Word of God is our only defense through those battles. There's times where I go to the Psalms and I look at the life of David and I see what he went through. And I see about where Saul was after him, and I see about how he was crying out to God in deprecatory Psalms saying, God, I want you to kill him. Take him out of the way. You know what? That would have been easy for God to do. But guess what? He was teaching David something through those things. He was teaching David some things through those trials and tribulations. Sir, ma'am, God's teaching you something through those trials. He's teaching you something through those tribulations that you and I have. Guess what? He may be testing you until your joy becomes full. What is James chapter 1? He said, guess what? You shall have tribulation, according to John chapter 16, verse 33. But he also says in James chapter 1, guess what? You're going to have trials. It doesn't say if you have trials. He said, when you fall into diverse temptations. It means trials and testings. And guess what? As a child of God, you're not exempt from trials, tribulations, and testing. But He always tells us our grace is sufficient in the time of need. My friend, do you have labor that abounds? Are you laboring with the brethren? Are you laboring through the battles that God has allowed to come by your way? Or have you sort of rolled your sleeves back down? Have you sort of just got lethargic in your pew and said, you know what, I'm just going to sit back and wait on God? That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, my friend. That's exactly what he wants you to do. You see, I want you to also not understand that we must not only labor with our brethren, we must not only labor through our battles, but I also want you to notice that we have labor that brings blessings. Look what he says in verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. What an awesome promise that God gives us here, that our labor is not in vain. Do you ever feel as if sometimes you should just give up and go do something else? You may ask that question, what am I doing? Why am I going through this thing? I'll be honest with you, there was times that I was sitting in the hospital with my daughter. There's a particular time where on a Sunday night, my wife was at church. We would flip-flop and alternate for about 4 months. And I remember sitting there by our bedside, and the doctors couldn't give us any comfort. They couldn't give us any peace about what was going on. And I was sitting there, Pastor Greer, and I was thinking, God, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give it all. What good possibility, what good could come out of this? And as I started thinking about that, I looked over at my daughter. And I said, if I quit now, Brother Greg, what hope will she have in my God? What hope will she have in my God? You see, sometimes you may not always feel like the commanding general. There's sometimes you may not always feel like you're at the top of your game. But my friend, you must understand that if you want to have blessings upon that God wants you to have, you must continue doing the work of God. Have you ever asked yourself sometimes, well, I'm just going to let somebody else clean the church? Or I'm just going to let somebody else mow the grass? Or I'm just going to let somebody else visit our shut-ins. Or I'm just going to let somebody else visit the sick or the elderly. I'm going to let somebody else teach our Sunday school class. Why? Because you're tired. But see, that's when the burning process takes place. And that's when the growth takes place. I like what D.L. Moody once said. He said, I may be weary in the work, but I'm not weary of the work, my friend. And what we must understand is that we may be weary in the work of God. We must never be weary of the work that God has laid upon us. What is that work, Brother Philip? The main commission is to go and teach and baptize, telling others about Jesus Christ. You see, We must remember that the main thrust in what we do and why we do it is because of what Christ did for us some 2,000 years ago, my friend. It's not for your glory. It's not for this preacher's glory. It's for the glory of God, amen, to tell others about Jesus Christ. The believers in Corinth were confused over the resurrection, and they may have been under some stiff persecution about what concerning their faith and their belief of the resurrection. But Paul tells them, he says, guess what? Just hold on. Just hold on, my friend, because your labor is not in vain. You see, your relationship, I like what the man once said. He says, your relationship is an acceptance that can never be questioned, an inheritance that can never be lost, a deliverance that can never be excelled, a grace that can never be limited, a hope that can never be disappointed, a bounty that can never be withdrawn, a joy that need never be diminished, a nearness to God that can never be reversed, a peace that can never be disturbed, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, and a salvation that can never be canceled. My friend, that's the labor that brings blessings to you and I here this evening, my friend. Is that guess what? Even if he didn't give us anything else, he says a labor that can never be canceled, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Let me ask you something, my friend. Have you ever understood, have you ever looked back and says, God, what I want to labor for you because of what you did for me? As a Sunday school teacher taught this morning about him going to the cross of Calvary. And I think about the labor that he took and the beating and the scourging that he took for your sin and for my sin. Guess what, my friend? What we must understand is that if we're going to ever do anything for the cause of Christ, it's going to take work. It's going to take labor. It's going to take labor studying the Word of God. It's going to take labor trying to get, I don't know about you, but if you ever spend any long hours sometimes in prayer, it's work, my friend. It takes labor to pray in the Holy Ghost. It takes labor to sit there and get your mind in God's mind and get together and let Him speak to you through His Word and through that still, small voice of God. It's not just going to be a little whim, quick prayer in the morning going out the door with your lunch pail and expect the day to go well. It's going to take labor, my friend. And guess what? You know what it's going to take to fill up these pews? It's going to take labor. Guess what it's going to take for Brother Philip Brown to get a church started in Bozeman, Montana, Pastor Greg? It's going to take work. I can't just sit in my lazy chair and send out a couple mailers every day. It's going to take me going out and knocking on doors, telling others about Jesus Christ. My friend, you got a prime opportunity here in Boone, North Carolina. You got 20,000 students sitting over there in Appalachian State that need Jesus Christ, my friend. Guess what? They don't know what they need, but you know what they need. Guess what? They're not going to come in groves here. You're going to have to go out there and get them. But guess what? You must understand that our labor brings blessings. Our labor, I don't know about you, but I can't wait till I get to heaven. I had to lead a little girl to Christ in a VBS named Riley. And as I was preaching, she was glued on, I think she was 11 years of age. And you know what, Pastor Greer, I can't wait till I get in heaven. And when we're all called up, and that little Riley comes beside me, and she comes up and gives me a high five and wants to say, Brother Brown, thank you for telling me about Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, that's the labor, that's the blessings. You may not be rich on this side of eternity, but my friend, what are you going to present at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ on the other side of eternity? Are you going to be crowned full, or are you going to be crowned less? You see, the responsibility is yours, not mine. Let me ask you something. There's a labor that brings blessings. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't like seeing empty church pews. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like seeing empty bus seats on my bus routes. Why? Because I know that I can always do more to get people in the house of God. They need the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Bible tells us in verse 58 that, guess what? We can labor with our brethren. He also says that we can labor through our battles. He also tells us that we can labor that brings blessings. But I want you to notice, last but not least, that we labor that's on a bridge. You say, what's the bridge, Brother Philip? Look at that word, work of the Lord. Do you understand that in verse 58, the Bible tells us that we labor through the work of Christ? The reason we labor is because of the finished work of Christ on the cross some 2,000 years ago. Christ is our bridge from doom to destiny, from hell to heaven, from the horrible pit to the heavenly paradise, my friend. We must understand that Jesus was the bridge that paved our way to glory, my friend. He settled a sin debt some 2,000 years ago when He says, it is finished. I'll never forget when I used to go to my uncle's house. He used to have a picture. And there was a picture of planet Earth on one side. And there was hell flames under the middle. And then there was heaven where you could see a silhouette of a faceless man, the Lord Jesus Christ, I guess you could say. And there was a bridge of a cross that was going from one side to the other, my friend. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was our bridge, my friend. And that is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you understand that we are to be our, we must labor in the work of our bridge, our foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, why do you do what you do? Do you do to get prestige or posterity? Or do you do to get glory from mankind? I almost preached on we're not men pleasers. Why? We must work to please God. Do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16? Guess what? The rich man wanted to go to where Lazarus was. But guess what? He never stood on the bridge. He never stood on the bridge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of faith through repentance, to get to the other side, my friend. And you have a prime opportunity here tonight. If you're lost and undone without Christ, to stand on the bridge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand on the foundation, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, God, I am a hell-deserving sinner in need of a righteous Savior. If there's never been a definite time and place where you knew without a shadow of a doubt that you were lost and undone without Jesus Christ in your life, and you repented of your sin, guess what, my friend? If you don't remember that day and time, you're lost and going straight to hell. You may say, Brother Philip, that's pretty harsh. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We have too many compromising preachers out there that don't want to stand on the whole counsel of God and preach and teach His Word. And what we must understand is that Christ is our bridge. Christ is our bridge. You see, the Bible tells us in verse 58, He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, I was talking with a man not long ago, and he told me about the story of the bridge that is built in Boston. He told me at the time it was built, there was so much muck and mire, Brother Greg, under the bridge, that the engineers had to come up with a plan and a scheme of how they could build this massive bridge. After hours of studying, they had to build an upside-down pyramid foundation so it would be strong enough to hold the bridge. However, after all that construction, the bridge was finally built. And you see, today, the bridge actually moves because of the muck and the mire underneath the foundation. My friend, the bridge that the Lord Jesus Christ built for you and I here today, there's no shifting, there's no wavering. It's solid on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. And my salvation is steadfast, unmovable. Why? Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. Amen. My friend, what are you building on your bridge? What are you building on your bridge? Are you building a bridge of good works? Or trying to get that baptismal record to get you into heaven? Or because your grandma and grandpa or your mom and dad live a godly, clean Christian life? What are you building your bridge on tonight? You say, oh, Brother Philip, I'm a Sunday evening Christian. I know a whole lot of Sunday evening Christians that are going to die and go straight to hell because they're trying to get some other way than Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of Wednesday night Christians that are going to die and go to hell that sit on a church pew every single week. Why? Because they're trying to build a bridge on something else. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And my friend, you must understand that we must labor upon the bridge of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You see, there's too many people that's trying to get to heaven some other way, Pastor Greer. And this, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be a sad, sad state. At 6.05 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday, August the 1st of 2007, the Mississippi Bridge collapsed with over 100 cars on it. You remember that? It was horrifying to watch as those people were on the bridge, and all of a sudden the bridge gave way, according to the videos. 14 people lost their lives on that day, and many other lives were changed instantly. After months of investigation, it was determined that the bridge that stood for years was on a poor design. It had flaws from the very beginning. My friend, the only bridge that is steadfast, unmovable, is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the bridge that I am riding on all the way to glory land, my friend. I don't have to worry about it collapsing. I don't have to worry about it crumbling. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin and your sin. Do you realize that? You may be here this evening on a flawed bridge of a poor design. You may be resting on a steel plate of baptism, a steel beam of good works, or the paved road of church membership. And my friend, the only thing that's going to get you to do is going to go get you straight to hell. Do you understand that? Friend, do you stay on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Jesus built the ultimate bridge when he told his disciples in the upper room, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me ask you something. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Are you abounding with the brethren? Are you co-laborers with him? Are you co-laborers with one another trying to get the work of the Lord Jesus Christ done? Secondly, are you laboring in their battles? Have you just said, Brother Philip, I quit. I can't go on doing what I used to do. It's too tiresome. Guess what? When I was in Bible college, I never thought I would finish. Why? Because it was a battle. It was a battle spending time with my family. It was a battle trying to study for the next day. It was a battle trying to go to do my job. It was a battle, but guess what? I continue laboring through the battles. Why? Because I know that my labor is not in vain. My friend, are you laboring through battles? Do you have labor that brings blessings? You know what? You may not receive the blessings on this side of eternity, but what are you storing up on the other side of eternity? And I ask you lastly, not least, are you laboring on the bridge of the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What are you laboring on? I'll tell you one last poem that I read, and it moved my heart. And I want you to listen to the words. The title is called A Builder or a Wrecker. He says, as I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho-he-hove and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled and the men you'd hire if you wanted to build? He gave a laugh and said, no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labor be that which will build for eternity. Amen. Let me ask you something. Is the labor that you have here this evening building for out of eternity? What are you anchoring in tonight? Do you have labor that abounds? He says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Guess what? Every time you give in that offering plate, every time you give in that faith promise check, I tell you what, my friend, your labor is not in vain. You know what? I believe in that heavenly account. Philippians chapter 4 talks about where it's going to go to your account. And when you walk in the portals of glory and you go see some old African or some old Zimbabwean or some Russian or wherever it may be, guess what? I believe they're going to look at you and say, thank you for getting the gospel to me. Do you understand that we have a job to do? The fields are white on the harvest. The fields is a picture of people, my friend. And we must understand that the Lord's return is imminent. Guess what? There's going to be a time in which no man can work. And you know what we must understand? We must labor today. We must labor to get the gospel to the United States of America. We must labor to get to the fields of Africa, to the fields of Moscow, to the fields of China, wherever God places a man. And guess what? He may use you or he may use me. But guess what? Our labor is not in vain. Let me ask you something. Are you laboring through the battles or are you quitting? Are you laboring with your brethren or are you bitter? Are you laboring through the bridge of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you on a shifty, shaky foundation? And do you have labor that brings blessings? Let me ask you this last question. When's the last time that your labor and your love has impacted someone so much that they've walked down this aisle and knelt at an old-fashioned altar and repented of their sins? I'm asking you as an individual. When's the last time your life has impacted someone that much? When's the last time you've had someone come up to you at the job or at school, young people, where your life and your testimony has impacted somebody so much that you gave them a gospel tract and they came to you and say, I just got saved because of your life and you giving me a gospel tract because I saw what you have is real. You know what the world wants? You know what Appalachian State University students want? You know what the citizens of Boone, North Carolina want? They want to see real people that have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, my friend? If we're going to do it, we can't labor that with bitterness with one another. We can't have division among each other. And guess what? We can't quit when the battles get tough. Amen. And you know what? We need to stand up and testify and praise God and glorify Him and all that He's done. If your pastor gives you an opportunity to stand up to testify, you ought to be the first one up if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, my friend. Guess what? There's people tonight that can't stand up and testify because they don't have a joy in their heart. They don't have a song in their heart. I ask you this question. Do you have labor that abounds? Let me ask you something. One last thing. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us we're all in a race. Guess what? I can't run your race for you. Your pastor can't run your race for you. Guess what? You have a race that God has given to you personally. And guess what? Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let me ask you something. Are you keeping the faith? Are you keeping what God has given to you and that His precious Son?